We're continuing our studies in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 and the first 6 verses. And this is Paul writing to the church. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendations to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, results of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, having read that and read from the background to Paul's writing, I felt it necessary to possibly spell out some of the obvious, and sometimes it's good to look back and put ourselves in the position of that church if it's possible. So first of all, look at your Bible and look at your New Testament and pretend that it's not there, because that's exactly how the church was. And you say, well, that's a bit far-fetched today, but it isn't places in China where the gospel is growing so fast. There are many, many churches that don't have a New Testament. So the church, therefore, relied upon the apostles and relied upon them for correction, doctrine, and direction. This meant, really, that the church was vulnerable. It was vulnerable for false teachers coming into the church. And sure enough, false teachers were infiltrating the church and teaching false doctrines. The church insisted, therefore, that really they ought to have some letters of recommendation to prove that these people were true apostles. Well, that didn't really deter these false teachers, because it's quite easy to get a letter written by some people saying that they were really good apostles and that their word had credence and that the church would welcome them with open arms. So it wasn't long before the church started to deviate from the gospel that Paul and his friends had taken to the church and founded the church on. And the church was taken in by these false teachers. And the gospel became corrupted. And Paul's ministry, often in these letters, was to correct these errors. And hence we have our New Testament, which is great and has been put down for us so that we don't fall into the problems that that first church had. But these false teachers were doing more than that, because they saw Paul as a threat. They decided that the best thing to do would be to discredit Paul. So the sort of thing that they did was that Paul was due to make a visit to the church, and he changed his itinerary. So they took this as a means of actually discrediting Paul. They said, well, you can just imagine what was being said. Well, Paul, if he was really led by the Spirit, wouldn't have had to change his mind, would he? You know, he can't be led by God. And the church started to possibly believe some of these things that was said about Paul. And they started to discredit him. It's also believed that they tried to discredit Paul regarding the money that was being collected for the poor in Jerusalem. The outcome of all this was that Paul's apostleship, his ministry, his integrity, and the truth of the gospel by the Holy Spirit was in question. Now, many believers actually, or many authorities, so I read, believe that this second book, or letter of the Corinthians, is possibly the third. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but many believe that there was another letter Paul sent to the church, and this would make it Corinthians 3. But it didn't find its way in here, and the thoughts are that this second letter of Paul written to the church was really trying to put the church right, let's put it that way, about these false apostles. And maybe Paul went over the top, I don't know. But certainly it was a major concern. And reading through the Gospels, through these letters, there are many who believe that that was the case, but can't be certain. So Paul reluctantly finds himself defending the situation. And we're all very familiar, I'm sure, those verses in chapter 11 here. And we're just going to turn to him for a few moments. In chapter 11, where Paul decides to boast. In other words, if these false apostles could do it, then he was going to. And in chapter 11, I'm not going to read all of it, just the first few verses. And Paul says, "Let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool." Sorry, it's verse 16. "So that I may do a little boasting." In this self-confident boasting, and I am not taking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit, I was too weak for that. And then Paul goes on to explain all the accreditations that he could put together if he needed to be an apostle in their eyes, if he was to write such a letter of recommendation. And in a way, it's nice that Paul did, because it enables us to understand a lot of what Paul was like. So, against that background of what Paul was facing, we'd look at these few verses in chapter 3. I'm going to do a little bit different. I'm going to do the end bit first. Is that all right? Well, you don't have a choice, because that's what I'm doing. Paul starts off such confidence as this, talking about the work he's done in the church, is ours through Christ before God. This is where Paul's confidence really lies. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Paul's not only saying his confidence, but also is answering a question posed in chapter 2. In chapter 2, just to remind you, Paul was talking about the importance of the gospel, how it brought life to some and death to others. And he ended up with a question saying, this gospel is so important, it's so life-threatening, it is so important that it's preached right. Who is equal to such a task? And in a way, Paul answers that question in this verse. He said, I am, but it's through Christ, not through me. He makes no claim to any confidence in himself, no claim to being having letters of approval, no claims of his own personality, no claims of man's opinion, or his self-importance, or forcing himself upon others, or on his eloquence, which is handy for me. But he says, even in chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, he says, when you talk about having no eloquence, but I do not think I am the least inferior to the super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker. And so he continues. Paul never made any claims to himself, bar his confidence in Christ. And in verse 5 he continues, my competence isn't in myself, but it's what has come from God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent in his ministry of the new covenant. I think this is great news for each of us. I don't know about you, but we sang the song a few minutes ago, which in its words, it's all about you, Jesus, and not about me. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. And if we could really take that to heart, it would free us from many of the burdens when we fail. And I don't know about you, but I do. And it also takes away the accusations of the evil one who says, you didn't do that very well, did you? You're not really up to the job. I'm not talking about being apostles. Whatever work God has given you to do, or just to enter there and say, yeah, that's right, I'm not, but he is. He who I believe is up to it. That's what matters. We can get so strung up, can't we, about failures and being ineffective in the end. We're too frightened to move out, maybe, because we think we might not do it quite right. Well, let's think about the sort of troubles Paul had. Just think how these false apostles were running him down. And he didn't ever really rely on himself. I really believe that God desires a willingness to be used by him in humility and under his grace. God is the operator in our lives, not you and me. And it's good to remember that. Now we'll go back to the start of the chapter if we would. In verse 1, Paul is almost accused of, let's just read that. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you and me? A little knock there, I think, about these letters that the other apostles have got. And Paul says, no. These letters aren't even worth the paper they're written on. In fact, they're not even worth the ink that you used. Because ink can lie, ink fades, and paper crumbles. And Paul turns the whole thing around about these letters of recommendation. He turns it on his head. In verse 2, you yourselves are our letter, read and known by everyone. Paul is saying, look what's happened to your lives. That's how to judge my ministry. Are you changed people? Yes, you are. Have you come into the light? Yes, you have. Were you the people you were before? No, you're not. Have you come to know Christ the Saviour? Yes, you have. That's my letter. I don't need pen and ink. Your lives. I think that's a lovely, lovely statement of Paul's. And he's not talking about a perfect church, because in the previous chapter, if you remember, Paul was referring to how to deal with someone that had been in sin. But he's prepared to put his name to these people. He's prepared to say, I'm their minister. I brought them into the light. I know they're failing, but I'm prepared to put my name there. It's a bit like those of you who are parents. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you're often judged by your children. And I think Paul, in a way, is sort of looking at it in that sense. Parents today put a lot of time and resources and effort into their children, make sure they're turned out well for school, their meals are fine, they look smart. I remember our son once going to an air training corps day out, a weekend away, in his combat gear, you know, the green and the brown stuff, and he was going to go into ditches and over fences and all the rest of it, and he stood on parade, ready to go, and his mate said, we'll put the creases in your trousers then. Which, I shan't say who that was, but it wasn't me. But that was Mum being proud her son was going to turn out the best on parade. And Paul's like that with his people, his chosen people, those people he's led to the Lord. He was prepared to be, and he was proud of them. And you get that with Paul. But you get something else there in the next verse, through verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ. Wow, that is challenging, isn't it? To be both read and known to everyone. Now, I don't know about you, but my mailbox is full of junk, often. It comes through more now, I believe, than ever did before. And companies have trouble sometimes because people tend to chuck so much of it away. You see, this is not a circular. So it means I really want you to open it and read it. And the mail, you get your junk, you get your second class, you get your first class, and you get your registered. And the question is, which one are you? Because we are Christ's letter to the world. Our lives recommend the world to Christ. Whether we like it or not, that's his means of telling the world, these are my people. I love them. And their lives are changed because of what I've done in them. The world has no other way of knowing what in our lives. Now, I've said it, I must admit. I don't know how many of you have as well. Well, don't look at me. Look at Christ. He's the example. Yes, he is the example. He's a pure example. But that's also a cop-out. Because in the world will judge Christ's church by you and by me. Yes, they know about Christ, maybe. But it's you and I that make the difference. It's you and I that challenge them towards looking to Christ. They don't look to Christ, then to us. They look to us, and then to Christ. And it can be a bit of a cop-out. What about these letters? What if they had RSVP on them? That the people you come into contact with were able to reply, "Dear God, thank you for this letter. I didn't know they were Christians." Wow. They go to church. Yeah, I knew that. They're not much different to me. Or would they say, "Yeah, I know they love you. They love me. They helped me through this situation." Yeah, they're honest, they're compassionate people. I can see that. I wonder what your RSVP will be. I wonder what mine is. It'd be good to know, wouldn't it? We are the message to the world. I'll leave you to answer your own question as to what your RSVP would be. It's not for me to tell you. So it's only going to be a short talk, that's what I was told. And that really concludes what I was going to say. Let's just conclude and just remind ourselves of a few things, though. When we're blessed to have the New Testament, aren't we? Our reliance, our confidence, our competence, our ability is in Christ. It's not in ourselves, our self-importance. And it's so easy to get caught away with that, to get caught up in that. It's not us, but it's Christ we rely on. Even when you fail, Christ is still there. John chapter 17, verse 21, he says, "May they also be in us," God's, Jesus' words to the Father, "may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me." That's it. Our lives are the message to the world. Jesus said, "These are my people." Let's go this week and recommend him by our lives to all mankind, both to our family, to our friends, to our neighbours, to the person driving in front of us, I say to myself, and to anyone else that you come into contact with. Let's recommend Christ. Let's be loving, compassionate and forgiving. Let's just pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's humility. We thank you, Lord, for the way you dealt in his life. We thank you, Lord, that despite the fact that he could have written such a great letter of recommendation, yet, Lord, he was prepared, Lord, to allow those who he brought through to you to be the recommendation as to his ministry. Lord, help each and every one of us to realise in no matter what aspect of your work you've called us to, that, Lord, you're the operator. Lord, forgive us for those times we fail, but enable us, Lord, not to become discouraged. Help us, Lord, to pick ourselves up and to be filled with your Spirit again. Lord, help us as we go out this week, to the people we meet, to be you to them. Give us a heart and a compassion, give us the love and forgiveness. Help us to take you into our family lives, into our work, into our neighbours, to every aspect of our lives. Help us to be your letter to the world, Lord, and help us to be first class, registered, open and read freely by all. For your Son's sake and for your kingdom's glory. Amen.